Hey church, how's everybody doing today? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Listen, we're going to do something a little different today. Y'all cool with that? All right, eight of you are good with that. So, but listen, just because I have a microphone and I'm bigger than all of you, I feel confident in saying that. But before I make you do something, I'll introduce myself. I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I'm so excited y'all are here with us this morning, worshiping God, praising His name. And listen, I'm going to explain a little bit about what just happened throughout our next few minutes together. And it was exciting what just happened because it was a precursor to what God is going to speak today. And it was perfect. And the Holy Spirit is perfect. God is perfect. God doesn't make mistakes. And Linda and Dave Kubikovic are sitting over here to my right. And as I was walking through, Linda, as Linda always does, just drops little nuggets, okay? She said, that wasn't supposed to end. And I agree with you. It wasn't. But it didn't. That portion of our worship time did, but it led right into what God's going to do right now. And it was perfect. Because we're in a series right now entitled Go Into Your World. And on your seats right now are little invites. And we've been encouraging people to invite people. And oftentimes our perspective is that we're just inviting them to come to a nice little experience for an hour and 15, hour and 30 minutes on Sunday mornings. Come to church. Come to this building. Come sit on a comfy chair and have some good coffee and meet some people. That is not what you're inviting people to. I'm going to just point out the elephant in the room. You might have been invited here today. This might be your first time here. Gotcha. You got invited into something really, really amazing. Life-changing. How can I be so confident in saying that? I got invited 17 years ago. And you know why I accepted that invitation? Because of the beautiful girl sitting in the front row. She was the hook that God used. She's what got me here. It had nothing to do with any of you. Nothing. It had nothing to do with the worship team. It had nothing to do with the comfy chairs. It had nothing to do with the coffee. As a matter of fact, there was Maxwell House or Folgers back then. Nothing to do with the coffee. Nothing. I didn't even drink coffee back then. It had everything to do with a girl. But God used it. You know what else God used? An invitation. And it took faith for Rachel and her parents to say, hey, you want to go to church? Come with us. And listen, church, it's going to take faith for you all to go out into your world and invite people. But here's the difference that we're going to do today. We're going to do something different, like I said. We're going to stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Remember in elementary school, when you first got to class in the morning, you'd stand up, you'd do some calisthenics, you'd do some jumping jacks? Some of you got real scared I was going to make you do jumping jacks. I'm not going to make you do jumping jacks. And I don't have one of those big parachute things that everybody would like wave up and down. It's not in the budget. But what I do have to get you excited is the Word of God. And 17 years ago, we used to stand up when the Word of God was read, because we used to revere it. We used to bring reverence to the Word of God. And here it is, the Great Commission. Man, I'm getting old. It's dark over there. Who snorted? Somebody snorted. Oh, it's Rudy. Oh, it was Amanda. Whew. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. We may have some doubters in here. It's okay. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Listen, this series name isn't just some cool name we came up with. Us circling that word go wasn't like, oh, that's a good idea. No, that's the Word of God. We're told to go into our world by Jesus. But we get scared because we're doing it in our own will and our own might sometimes. But we're given the authority to do so. And He is with us. This little card on your seat is just some card stock. That's all it is. It's just some card stock. It has no inherent power. It's paper. But God. All you have to do is extend the invitation and let God do the rest. You think you have to do everything. No, 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 no. You just got to take a little step of faith and let God do the rest. Not because we want people to enjoy some coffee or have a place to go for an hour and 30 minutes on a Sunday, but so that their life can be changed. We're not inviting them to a place. We're inviting them to a changed life. And that's what today is about. That's what this series has been about. Let's pray. Father God, give us a perspective shift today. Help us to see what we're inviting people to. God, help us to see the supernatural power and life that we're inviting people into. God, thank you for what you did during worship, that you helped us to see that there's so much more that we're inviting people to. God, thank you for that. Thank you for that Holy Spirit segue. God, to give us a glimpse of what we're inviting people to experience and giving people a life to live. In Jesus' name, open our eyes today. And everybody said, amen. You all can be seated. So what do we want you to know today? I think it's pretty clear that the Christian lifestyle is amazing and should be shared. If you don't share it, shame on you. Everybody loves show and tell day. If you didn't have show and tell day as a kid, come and let me know. We'll have show and tell day. You could bring something in, you can show it, you can tell everybody about it. We'll practice. What do we want you to do? We want you to live in such a way that people want to know more about your life of faith. That they see you and that they know something is different about you. What do I want you to experience today? I want you to experience in such a real way a living God that you desire to live your Christian life and faith in such a full way that the people around you are ready to receive what you have and you're ready to share it. Church, I want you to understand that no matter where you are in life, I mean, obviously there's some babies in this room that have no idea that I'm speaking. They just hear noises right now. So they're removed from this statement, kind of. But all of us have people in our lives. It's good. I'll pick it up in a little bit. All of us in our lives, no matter where we're at, have people that are watching us. They're watching us. Whether they're admiring us, whether they look up to us, whether they're inspired by us, whether they can't stand us, whether they want to be like us or they don't like us, people are watching us. There are people that want to be like us, or there's people that just want to beat us. Haters gonna hate, right? Or admirers are gonna admire. What's the saying? Admiration or copying is the greatest form of flatter. Well, I don't know. Imitation is the greatest form of flatter. What is it? Say it loud. Imitation is the greatest form of flattering. There it is. Let me let you all in on a big secret. Most of the time I know it, I just do it so that you guys participate. You're not going to believe me, but it's true. The people that are watching us, whether they like us or hate us, all of them are watching us and wondering how we're going to respond to certain things that we do. They want to know what enables us to have joy in the midst of hardship. What causes us to be blessed and have so much favor in our lives. What makes us helpful or courteous or kind. Whether it's consciously or subconsciously, people are watching us. If you're openly a Christian, people are watching you more because they're just waiting for you to slip up. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Peter's encouraging believers who are being grieved by various trials. He's reminding them that even as they suffer, they're to be sharing their faith. And he's even implying that these trials have to come to provide opportunity for people to ask about the hope that they have. Wait a second. Peter's implying that us have to or even get to go through trials in our life so that others can experience a living God? I don't know if I want to sign on for that. I How much is a soul worth to you? How much? How much pain are you willing to go through so that maybe one other person could meet Jesus? How much strife are you willing to go through in your life so that one may not perish? It's hard to think. It's hard to fathom. But God is who He says He is. And sometimes we go through things we don't understand. But God will turn all for good for those who love Him. Our lifestyle should cause people to ask the questions, how, why? Tell me, how in the world? It's out of this world. It's Him. As believers, our lifestyle will either attract people to or repel people from the gospel. We just got to understand that. Listen, certain smells really attract people or push people away. Am I right? How many people love cilantro? How many people absolutely hate it? You know, I love it. But there are people in this world that it literally tastes like soap. I don't like eating soap. I don't eat soap. Does anybody eat soap? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to like reveal that you're on that TLC show, I Eat Weird Things. That's a real show. You know that, right? It's a real show. Pray for those people. But your life will either attract or repel. But a lot of times, a majority of the time, it's going to cause people to ask questions. It's their choice whether or not they want to receive what Jesus is offering them. Our lifestyle will communicate things about God. And if we're doing it right, it'll cause people to ask questions about this hope that we have in Jesus. So what makes your life so peaceful? What makes your life so blessed? These are questions that will be asked of you whenever people see the way that you live. They're softballs. How have you found comfort in the things that you're facing or have faced? How can you operate with such authority and power and joy? How in the world can you walk through that diagnosis or that loss? Jesus. Nothing else. It's Jesus. People will open doors. And they'll let you walk in. We're going to talk about John 3 today. And all of you heard John 3 and you're like, he's going straight to John 3:16. No, I'm going to read the first 15 verses first. Because everybody knows John 3:16. But not everybody has read the first 15 verses. And the first 15 verses that lead up to John 3:16 are actually one of the greatest evangelistic opportunities in the Bible. And it's Jesus using this interaction to lead to that culmination of John 3:16. And it all started with someone seeking Jesus out because he saw something different in his life and he wanted to know more. And Jesus, because he loved people and he makes people a priority, was ready to answer some questions, was ready to provide some answers, was ready to introduce this man to a life, the life that he was looking for. So here we go, church. I'm going to read 15 verses. And I don't know if you need to close your eyes, bow your head, or whatever you need to do to remove the distractions around you. You could follow along with your Bible. This is a Bible. It has papers in it. This is a phone. Okay? You could read on this as well, but if you need a Bible, let us know. But I'm going to read, and then we're going to unpack some things. Now, there was a Pharisee. Everybody say Pharisee. Pharisee. I might call you out and make you say some words. You know why? I want to make sure you're awake. A man named Nicodemus. That's a fun name to say. Nicodemus. Strong name. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again? And Nicodemus had asked him, surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So here we are, an influential Jewish leader who recognized something in Jesus that was different than the religious order he knew and he grew up following. He sought Jesus out to ask questions because he saw in Jesus' life something that was appealing. It was attractive to him. Listen, people are looking for alternatives to life. They're looking all around them to try to find things in life. New friendships, new relationships, new fads. They're looking to fill voids in their life. The thing is they're not looking to fill those voids in church. In Jesus. You know why? Do you want to know why? I'm glad you do. Here we go. Here's my opinion. Because I believe the church is failing. Not just Bridge City Church, the church. Because we've gotten comfortable. We've gotten so comfortable with just receiving, with becoming consumers. We're so comfortable with just consuming. We come on Sunday mornings just to consume. I'm going to get what I'm going to get. I'm going to get filled up. And then that's it. But today's all about us being energized to go outside of these walls to give it away, not just consume. Because there's a world outside that is looking for something and they're finding it in all the wrong places. They're looking to fill the void in their life with that new fad, that new drink, that new drug, that new high. You think I'm kidding? It's the truth. And it's starting younger and younger. New stuff, new experience, that new thing. But each one of these things are a system that winds up demanding their attention, their devotion, without really offering any real answers or any real comfort or peace. It actually provides more hopelessness, more pain, more confusion, and desires for more. Many people find more unsatisfaction, more insufficiency. So what are people really looking for? They're looking for joy. They're looking for freedom. They're looking for what Nicodemus was looking for in the questions that he was asking Jesus. He asked Jesus questions, and Jesus presented him with a reality that was beyond his wildest imagination. You need to be born again. Wait, what? How is that possible? We think with our worldly minds in everything that we do. So I'm a grown man. How am I got to be a baby again? Jesus broke it down for him. And as followers of Jesus, we have to feel excited and empowered to invite people to Jesus when we remember the three things about our faith that we're inviting people to. We're inviting people to a supernatural lifestyle. It's not natural. Sometimes it's not explainable. We're inviting people to a surrendered lifestyle. We're going to unpack that today. We're inviting people to a superior lifestyle. We're going to unpack these 3 points today. So let's talk about the supernatural lifestyle. What does that mean? Jesus presented a profound supernatural response to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Nicodemus looked at him probably like, what in the world? I can't become a baby again. So I have to go back into my mother's womb. I'm not trying to do this whole deal over again. We can't dumb down or despiritualize the life that we have in Christ. What does it mean? We're starting over. The old is gone and the new has come. The old Nick is dead. He's gone. He died 17 years ago. But you know what? You could wake him back up. He's still there every once in a while. I was reminded last night. You want to hear a little story? I made a statement in front of 200 of my closest friends a couple weeks ago that I was going to put a Bridge City sticker on the back of my car. Because I said I was at the point where I was okay to do that. Because I made the statement, if you're going to be a cranky person, don't have a Jesus sticker on the back of your car. I said it, right? If you're going to have road rage, don't have a Jesus, don't advertise Jesus on the back of your car. Right? Just don't do it. Be wise. And I said, if you're going to be cranky, don't advertise the church. So I felt that I was ready to do it. And I told you all about it. So I did it. I'm a man of my word. I said I was going to put a magnet on the back of my car. You believe my car is not metal in the back? There's not one spot that that magnet will stick to. They don't build them like they used to. There's not one spot. So I put a sticker on my window. I did it. I'm a man of my word. I've been minding my P's and Q's ever since it's been on there. Last night, driving home from a wedding, I just left the church. 11:15, turn on the Lincoln Way. Going like 40 miles an hour, a little bit above the speed limit. I'll be honest, we're in church. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Somebody pulls up behind me. They're almost in my back seat. They start flickering their high beams. I apply my brake, let them know that I'm there. I just want them to know that I'm there. I didn't know if they knew. And then I keep it moving. And they're weaving back and forth. And I'm instantly reminded, Nick, you got a sticker on the back of your car. My God, I know. And then my flesh kicked in. Nick, your trailer's on the back of your car. Nobody can see that sticker. I'm like, yeah. And then God was like, you know it's there, and I know it's there. I was like, all right, God. So I get to where there's a turning lane. So I get into the turning lane so this person can pass me, because they're relentless. They pass me, and then I realize they have a pizza delivery thing on their roof. I'm like, they're advertising that they're a business, so I get behind them. I start taking pictures, videos. I'm like, they're going to know. And then this morning I wake up, I'm like, I'm preaching this today. I'm like, I got to order a pizza from there and hope this guy delivers it to my house. It was a Prius. Anyways. But then God put this all on my heart. God, I'm going to pray for this guy. The pizza shop closed at 11. It was 11:15. He is probably delivering the last order of the night. He's probably angry, stressed, overwhelmed. And I have a supernatural lifestyle that I could present to this guy. Maybe I need to go to that pizza shop and pray with him. Maybe I need to take that picture and dial that number and order a pizza in hopes that he comes to my house. Not so that I could read a piece of my mind to him, but so that I can let him know that there's an invitation to a new amazing life that transcends the normal. That maybe one day, too, he could have a sticker on the back of his car. You know, so many times we want to put the cookies on the lowest shelf and we want to dumb everything down, but so many times we put the cookies on the floor and we've invited people to dirty cookies. We've dumbed stuff down so much that we've removed the life-changing power of it. That born-again statement used to freak me out. It used to have a negative connotation. But I'm a born-again Christian. The old Nick is gone. The old you is gone if you've received what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It wasn't just some behavior modification. You didn't just become a good person. No, you became a new person. You are righteous, sanctified, set free. What does a surrendered lifestyle look like? Wise, surrendering ourselves to a process of growth, of development. When we're dependent on others and we aren't in control, we learn to entrust the Father to care for us and to provide for us through others. Church, we are in a society and a culture that are control freaks. We want to be in control of everything. Everything. What's the international sign for surrender? Anybody know? And this. Brandon, what is it really? Is it the white flag?
Yeah.
But this helps too, right? If you put your hands up, I mean, it's kind of... Huh? It does depend on what's in them. That does make sense. But if I put my hands up, that's surrender, right? I trust Brandon's thing. But if I have a white flag and I put my hands up, that's double surrender. Brandon wasn't at the first, but... White flag? In church, though. Thanks for playing along. It's this now. International sign for surrender at Bridge City Church. But when you put your hands up, you're in a position of weakness. You're in a position that says, take it. It's yours. When we're worshiping, this isn't just, hey, look at me. No, this is God, take it. Take everything that I have. Take everything that I am. You're giving up control. Church, it is a beautiful thing to surrender and then realize that you gain everything. The world tells you, though, if you surrender, you lose it all. But a surrendered lifestyle actually gives you so much more because there's strength in numbers. When we learn to trust the Father, we learn that provision comes from Him and that we don't need to be in control because He has our back. I'm a recovering control freak. I really am. Do you want to know how I realize that I still have some control freak in me? No, you don't want to know? Okay, I'm going to tell you anyways. When I realize that I have a favorite shipping company, it's FedEx, because FedEx literally will tell me where my package is and how fast it's moving. That's why, because I'm still a control freak. UPS is horrible. They just say, like, it's coming sometime. It's going to show up. We got it. It's coming. I shipped something one time via DHL, and they're like, we're going to get it there maybe, right? But we all still have that. We all still like to be in control. But the Father wants us to surrender it all. Hebrews 4, 9 through 10. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did creating the world. There's peace. There's comfort. There's rest for God's people. This is what we're inviting people to. We're not inviting people just to church, to a building. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We are inviting people to a burdenless life where they can find freedom from the heaviness of the world weighing on their shoulders. Imagine that. Seeing a weight lifted off of somebody's life. Have you ever seen the videos of somebody having a weight lifted off of them? Like, I remember as a kid, I saw a video of a mom lifting a car off of a kid. She, supernatural strength. Moms can do crazy, amazing things whenever their kids are hurt. But that weight was lifted and that kid was free. God wants to lift the weights off of his children. We're inviting people into that. We're inviting people into a burdenless life, a surrendered life, a yielded life. It's not an easy life. It's far from it. But it's a life of ease. Catch that. It's not an easy life, but a life of ease, where Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, does the heavy lifting. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You may be thinking, how in the world can I grow in these things? How can I learn these things? How can I understand how to walk in this surrendered life? How can I possibly learn how to walk more in this supernatural life? How can I possibly gain the fruits of these things? I need to learn more about this. I'm so happy you've asked that. November 6th, from 5 to 8 p.m., we've actually provided this. Four times a year we do this. It's called Growth Track. It's four different tracks. They go in order to help you grow in this so that you can walk it out, so that you don't become stagnant, because living water is moving water. If you're not growing, you're dying. There's more information at the connection point on this, but we want to help surrendered lives get to a process where they're growing up. So this superior lifestyle that we talked about, Jesus tells Nicodemus that this isn't just an earthly deal, but a heavenly thing, and it's from above. Having a relationship with Jesus is better than anything else. Anything else. The worship team's going to start to make their way back up, but I want you to understand this. I want you to understand this statement. If you're in this room and you have a relationship with Jesus, that means that you have had a moment where you've received him as Lord and Savior. You've repented of your past, accepted the forgiveness that he offered you. And he is now the leader of your future. The relationship you have with him should be better than anything else. If it's not, we need to revisit it. We need to get you back on track. We need to stop apologizing for our Christian lifestyle. And become apologists for how wonderful our Christian lifestyle is. Help people understand be good at understanding and explaining. I hear you, but I know what you're saying, but yes, that's true, but church, it's very clear that we're very, very comfortable with not offending people. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Jesus hurt people's feelings. Feelings lie. Feelings keep people stuck. Feelings are a trap sometimes. Too often we underplay and undersell the value and how amazing our faith is because we don't want to offend people. We just want the Jesus sitting around a group of people petting a lamb, but Jesus flipped tables too. We need to stop apologizing. Jesus didn't die so I could live a humdrum, uneventful, uninteresting, meh, life. He didn't die for that. He didn't die so that I could stay quiet from the things that I'm free from. He didn't die so that you could stay quiet from the things that you've been freed from. He didn't die so that you could stay quiet or be shy to speak up from the things that you used to be stuck in. He didn't die on that cross so that you could stay stuck in the things that you may still be stuck in. He didn't die on that cross so that you could try to find fulfillment in that bottle. Or in that drug, or in that whatever, name it. He didn't die on the cross so that you could try to find fulfillment there. He died on the cross so that you could understand that he loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This message is worth receiving and it's worth sharing. So for all of us in this room that may be here today that have never received it, I'm speaking to you. If you don't have a day, a place, a moment where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, where you've taken your position as a son or daughter of the King, I want today to be your day, October 30th, 2022, in White Oak, Pennsylvania, 15131. I want today to be the day where you repent of your past. You become a new creature, a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You receive the forgiveness of the cross and you allow for him to be the leader into your future. If that's you today and you need to receive that gift of eternal life, I just want you to slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. We just want to pray with you. We just want to pray with you. Don't let this moment pass. Don't allow for your pride or your fear to get in the way. Listen, you're not promised tomorrow. Tomorrow's not a promise. I know too many people that have sat in church for too many years and never had this moment to receive the gospel. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you, sitting in front of you, sitting behind you. It doesn't matter what they think. Jesus didn't die on the cross to just worry about what people think of you. Anyone at all today? Just slip your hand up to heaven. Not only is this message worth responding to, this message in these two verses is worth sharing. And this is what we share. So I'm going to pray right now that all of us are encouraged and empowered to go into our world and recognize what we're sharing with people, what we're inviting people to. And it's not just 90 minutes on a Sunday. It's a changed, transformed, supernatural life. It's a life of extreme joy, unexplainable peace. It's a life of getting to experience heaven on earth. It's a life of community. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for who they are. I thank you for who they were created to be. Lord, I thank you that we get to live this life together. Lord, I thank you that we get to live a life that others will look to. Lord, I pray for the questions that will be asked this week. Lord, I pray for the conversations that will be had. Lord, I pray for every single neighborhood that is represented in this place. Every workplace that is represented. Every single school that is represented, Lord. Every community organization that is represented, Lord. God, I pray for the people that are being prayed for by these individuals, by these connection groups, Lord. God, I pray for divine opportunities for people to be invited into eternity. God, give us the faith to invite people into a life with you. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.